Well, good morning. We do have many that are visiting with us. We are very thankful that you are here. I'd ask you to open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, is where we're going to begin in just a minute. A couple of weeks ago, I began a series, I suppose, at this point, talking about wrestling with our thoughts, the things that we consider in our minds, the things that we focus on. And last week, at the 11 o'clock hour, I talked about 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And I just want to lay this out as we begin this morning of understanding what Saul went through. Because I think a lot of us can compare ourselves to Saul. We want to compare ourselves to David. It's understandable. But what Saul dealt with, I think a lot of people deal with. Our care of what other people think. Our concern about what other people think. Saul was so consumed by that that when people sang a song about David, he wanted to kill him. I've only killed thousands. Saul struggled mightily with what people were saying about him. And as I said, I don't think that he is alone in that issue. The difference is that we can read about Saul and hopefully learn and see how we can change that view or begin to consider or care about those that actually matter and their opinions and the things that truly are going to help us grow. Proverbs, the 24th chapter, verse 23, and you don't have to turn over there, but it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." With all diligence. This is something that we're always striving to do. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Saul is told, you need to destroy the Amalekites. Saul decided that that's not exactly what they were going to do. You look at verse 9 as an example, and it makes it very clear whose job and responsibility this was. This is Saul's and the people were to do this. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the more valuable animals, the lambs, and everything that was good, and were unwilling to destroy them completely, but everything despicable and weak they completely destroyed. Saul did an amazing thing here. He destroyed everything except what he viewed to be valuable. Everything. You know, we'll talk about what he left, but that's pretty amazing to me that he destroyed everything else. But that's not what God told him to do. You can do 98% of what you're supposed to do, and it's not doing what you're supposed to do. As parents, we understand this, and we need to understand it as God's children. What it looks like to truly obey him, to truly honor him. Verses 13 through 15, Saul makes it pretty clear whose issue this was. Samuel says to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord, I have carried out the command of the Lord." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the bellowing of the oxen which I hear?" Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have completely destroyed." The people brought them back. Why did we bring them back? Because we're going to sacrifice them to you, God. What an amazing thing that is. Yeah, we brought them back, but they're going to sacrifice them to you. And Samuel's response in verse 16 is simply, stop. Just stop. There are times when we say things and we've justified and we've rationalized in our own minds what the truth is. And then somebody just tells you, just to stop. Just stop. The danger is how often we don't listen to that one person that loves us, that is striving to help us, that just simply says stop, and we rationalize even in our heads what they're telling us rather than to listen to what they say. Just stop. He goes on in verse 17, a powerful verse. Samuel says, "Is it not true, though you were insignificant in your own eyes, that you became the head of the tribes of Israel? For the Lord anointed you king over Israel." This is where it comes to us. You can be insignificant in your eyes, and Saul was insignificant in his eyes. He was from the smallest tribe, from the smallest family. There's no question about that. The difference is, though, the Lord anointed him. He picked him. Guess who else he picked? Guess who else is chosen? We are. God's people are. We're his children. And it's so amazing to me how often we have the same answer. But the people, those around us, we get so concerned of the people rather than concerned about the God. I want you to notice now the change of what occurs to Saul. In verse 20, he says, I did obey the voice of the Lord, for I went on a mission on which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalek, and have completely destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the choices of the things designated for destruction to sacrifice to the Lord at Gilgal. Uh-oh. Now we've changed a little bit. We brought this all back to sacrifice to you. Well, the people brought back the spoils. We're supposed to sacrifice them. Now all of a sudden, a little bit of a change. Samuel lets them know very clearly, in the verse that you'll hear fairly often in 22, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Verse 24, I have sinned, this is Saul speaking to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have violated the command of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voice. I feared the people. Well, that's not what you said to begin with, Saul. Before you said, we brought them back, we're going to give them to God. I did everything that you commanded me to do. And then it said, no, you didn't. Okay, well, the people brought them back. They were going to sacrifice them. No, I sinned because I feared the people, Saul says. The powerful lesson of this sometimes is that we step on our own toes when we read these stories. We don't want to compare ourselves to Saul because Saul's not like the good guy in this. But I'm going to tell you, I can see myself in Saul. There are times we care so much about the people. And Saul struggled mightily with the fact that he was the chosen one. You're the king. David, when Michal, his wife, tells him, you've got to stop celebrating like that in front of the people. The people are going to look at you. They're going to despise you. You know what David says? No, they're not. Why? Because I'm the king. He understood who he was. It was the same situation. The people. No, I'm the king. For you and I, we've got to understand the fact that we are children of the living God. For you women, you are daughters of the king. Understand what that means. We live in a time, as we talked about the last couple of weeks, where we're told nonstop that your value is nothing. It's knocked down. It's knocked down. But I have something I can sell you to make you look a lot nicer. And then in a couple of weeks, there's something else because that wasn't good enough. Make billions of dollars doing those things. Making you feel, making me feel like we're not of value. And if that's our perspective of value, you'll never be valuable. You'll always be insignificant. But when you understand that you are the child of the king, you are the child of the king, it changes your perspective on the things that you go through. As we go through this morning, I want you to understand this point. I am not talking about you having positive thoughts, some positive affirmation. Those things are important, but I'm not that person. You can get that from other people. What I'm telling you to have is godly thoughts. And I think you're going to find out that godly thoughts are very, very close to positive thoughts. Because godly thoughts tell us that I am a child of the king. I am from God. Greater is he who is in me than the one that is in the world. And when we have that perspective and we look at everything else that goes on through our minds or through our lives, it changes the way that you view things. I want you to notice Romans the 12th chapter. Romans the chapter 12 is a chapter that's talking about how we need to be living as God's people. It's simple to say it, but to actually live it. Romans the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 1, says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It's the renewing of my mind. What does that mean? I can change the way that I think. You may view yourself to be insignificant right now as God's child, and he says you need to change your mind. And you have the power to change your mind. You have that power. One of the justifications that we'll get started off with is by saying, I don't have the power to do that. I'm telling you, you have the power to do it. So much so that it led you down that path to begin with, that you don't think that you have that power, or that you already view yourself to be of no value. What got you to that point? Your mind. You allowed yourself to go down. That's okay. We're surrounded by it. But there comes a point in time as God's children that we understand what God is able to do for us. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, talks about this. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. That I can control my thoughts. I can make sure that the things that I'm thinking about are what they need to be. That doesn't mean things are going to come into my head, but I'm not going to focus on them. I'm going to get rid of them. Why? Because the verse right before it says, because of divine powers, because of God. So often we put them in a box when we say things like, I'm just not of no value. I can't change who I am. It's just who I am. Well, now you're a child of the King. And as child of the King, no one has greater value than you. That doesn't mean that we become arrogant. That means what responsibility that comes with that is that we're humble. But we understand who our Father is. He goes on in verse 16, talking about these other things that we need to be doing, being devoted to one another in verse 10. Making sure that we're doing all that we can for one another, being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to one another, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Yes, you are a child of the King. Yes, you have tremendous value because God said you do. But you need to make sure that you are putting other people first. We need to understand what humility is. I've talked about this since I started at West Mason, almost 17 years ago, believe it or not. Is the understanding or the misunderstanding by so many people what humility is. Humility is not putting yourself down. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less, as C.S. Lewis would say. It's putting other people before you. You're not arrogant. We're not striving to be arrogant. But we do understand the value of being God's children. Both sides are important. We're pendulum swingers. We can go from one side of saying that I am nothing, I am insignificant, even as a child of God, to the point that we become arrogant. Both are wrong. We've got to understand our value is simply because God allows us to be his children. That's where our value comes from. Over in Ephesians, the 17th chapter, again, this idea of making sure that we are living this life, it's a change of our minds, change the renewing of the spirit, as it talks about in this chapter, of making sure that we're doing the things that we need to do. In verse 17, he says, so I say this and affirm in the Lord that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walked in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they have become callous and given themselves up to the indecent behavior for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. But you did not learn Christ this way. This is not you. Now, when you read about what the Gentiles were doing, they were so caught up in wisdom. And not godly wisdom, human wisdom. It's not like we're talking about people that didn't have education. Yes, we want more education. And what does he tell them? It's futility of their minds. It's futility of their minds. They're being darkened in their understanding. Excluded from what? The life of God. We did not learn Jesus in this way. He goes on and talks about you need to put off the old self. Not just carrying him around, Put off the old self, and in verse 13, and that you are to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We are to be like God. We are to be like Him. Not like everybody else in this world. We're to be different than the people in this world. We're peculiar. Don't like that word. We don't like being peculiar. We'll say we do, but people don't. When I was younger, back in the good old days, when I was young, one of the things that was amazing to me, and this is how I learned this very quickly, is that people would talk about how, oh, we want to be just so different. I'm going to be so different. Okay. And then they began to wear different kind of clothes. And then all of a sudden, a group of them were wearing different kind of clothes. Well, that's not different. You just have your own little group of people that you care about. We get so caught up in what other people think and get so concerned about being want to be like other people that we forget, I am called to be like my Father, like God. And I can surround myself with the same people or people with the same thoughts in mind. But the reality is I'm going to stand before God and give an account for what I've done. I need to renew my mind to make sure I'm living the life that we've been called to be and that we are setting our minds on things above. Thursday morning class, we've been studying epistles in particular. And I just love Colossians. Colossians is the third chapter, and going into the fourth chapter is just amazing to me. It says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. It's about me deciding where I'm going to put my focus. Where am I going to set my mind? Where am I going to set my mind? Verse 4, he says, He's our life. He's my life. Therefore, make sure that I put aside the things that I need to make sure that I am putting aside. He goes on in 10 and following and talks about this renewal that we have to have. We are different people. We're different, or we're called to be. Not because we're to act weird. It's because we've been sanctified. We've been set aside, set apart. We're His children. We are to let the light shine. How do we do that in verse 12? So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. In addition to all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ, to which you are called, which you are indeed called, to one body, rule in your hearts, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks through Him to the Father. And then he gives examples of what this looks like. But we're to renew ourselves. How do we do that? How do we get to the point? Verse 16 is a verse that I've talked about this before, is a verse that people will go to simply to try to go against false teaching, and you miss the point of the verse. We can miss the point of the verse. How do we do this? He tells us in verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's how you do it. You focus on Him, on His word. And if we allow it to occur, it'll change who you are. Not because of you, it's because of Him. That's what He tells us is going to happen. Then the whatevers. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. Everything I do is because I dwell on His word, and I'm striving to be the person I've been called to be. That doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. He's helped us and gives us ready for that too. But it does matter when it comes to how we live this life. That we're willing to show kindness to people that are not showing kindness to us. We're willing to be compassionate even when people are not compassionate to us. Jesus showed compassion to people that it's amazing to me that He showed compassion to. We are to be gentle, be patient. Sometimes that patience is only with certain people that we want to be patient with. Not with our children. Not with our parents. We've got to be careful how we show patience to one another. How we show kindness to one another. Bearing with one another. Listen, I'm not sure that there's a harder thing to do. It'd be a lot easier for me if you all agreed with me on every single thing. And it would be boring and we'd probably be wrong. But the reality is we don't. And I've been called to bear with you. And you've been called to bear with me. We have a responsibility to make sure that we're doing these things, to talk, to try to figure things out if there's differences, certainly. But it's about patience. It's about my attitude when I'm going through those moments, when we're talking to one another, when we're handling the things that we need to be doing. And when you're thinking about yourself, we've been told so many times, or perhaps people make you feel like nothing. The danger is when you start feeling that yourself. I am nothing. I want you to change the way that you view that, not from a positive perspective only, but from a godly perspective. You are his masterpiece, his workmanship. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 10 says. The word workmanship there is masterpiece. You are his masterpiece. You. When you are made to feel nothing, I want you to always remember that God, the creator of all things, says you are my masterpiece. You are my child, as 1 John the 3rd chapter and verse 1 says. You are from God, 1 John the 4th chapter and verse 4 says. All powerful verses. All verses that as God's children we need to memorize and truly understand what they mean. When you think or making you're having a day where you're just feeling like you're nothing, I want you to remember who you are. You are a child of the living God. I pray this week that we're all able to take these things and apply them. Do them. Just try. I know people struggle with this. I know people look at Saul and unfortunately see themselves in him. I know, because I have. But the amazing thing about our God is that we don't have to stay that way. We can change the things that we think on, the way that we view ourselves. Is it easy? No, not always. But it can be done. Certainly with our God's help. But we're here to help you as well. One of the things that's dangerous when you come to worship service, you look around, people are dressed nicely. We all walk in, some of us limp in. But the reality is we're all going through things. We're all struggling with things. Certainly, it's easy to talk about in 2020 and 2021. And we can help one another get through them. And we can take each other's names before the great I am. Remember one another. Pray for one another. If you need to obey the gospel, now's the time. He has given us the opportunity to become his children. What an amazing thing that is to be able to say. You are a child of the living God, or you have the opportunity to be a child of the living God. It's your choice. If that's something that you want to do now, let us know. If there's anything that we can do for you, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.